Mark 12:38-44. And what do you think, if I ask you, what's the worst of all possible sins? If you want to heat a fire nice and hot, you can go and pour some petrol on it. If you want really to provoke God to anger, what is the petrol that you can pour upon the fire of his anger? How can you heat hell really hot? And the Bible's answer is false religion. Hypocritical religion. Religion that aims to please man instead of to please God. If you study the Gospels, which we have been doing, Jesus' strongest condemnation, Jesus' greatest anger is directed where? Against the false religion of the scribes, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. And in this passage today, Mark puts together false religion and true religion. We have the religion of the Pharisees, which Jesus condemns, and we have the worship of a poor widow woman, which Jesus praised. And so today, you can ask yourself, which am I more like? Am I following the path of the teachers of the law? Or am I following the path of this widow that Jesus praised? You're either following the way of God or you're seeking the praise of man in religion. So first then, let's see what Jesus condemns. And that's verse 38 up to 40. And here we have a clear picture of man-centered religion, of worship that aims at man. Now in our reading we read some of Matthew chapter 23. If you want to enlarge the picture, if you want to see more detail, you can read the whole of that chapter. Mark has just given us a part of what Jesus said, but you can read much more of it in Matthew 23. But the first thing about man-pleasing religion is that it is done for others to see. Done for others to see with their eyes. So it says, as Jesus taught, he said, watch out, beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes. So the teachers, they had their positions, they had their work to do, and they also had their special clothes. But they loved to be seen in them. They loved to be spotted. They loved people to know who they were. And then the people would say, ah, yes, look, there's the man of God. You know, as he sweeps past. That's what people love that in the world, don't they? You know, you've really made it in Kenya if you can have a limousine and four motorbikes driving before you and four motorbikes driving behind you. And then everybody will stop and say, ah, there's a big man. And that's what these teachers of the law loved also. Matthew tells us that they love to make the tassels, the decorations of their garment long. And they had these special places where they placed scriptures, written verses. And they loved to make those parts big so that you knew just how religious these men were. Talikuwa mfame katika the Old Testament na aliitwa Jehu na siku moja alisema kuja, come and see my zeal for the Lord, come and see how much I love Jehovah. But that man was only half-hearted in his worship of God, and instead of inviting people to see his energy for God, he would have been better to reform his heart more, that he was wholehearted for God. If God sees your heart, you don't need man to see your clothing or anything else about you. If God sees your worship, then that's enough, isn't it? Well, secondly, then, and this really follows, it's more of the same. Secondly, it was done to gain praise from man and to get honor amongst man. So Jesus said, verse 38 still, They like to be greeted in the marketplaces. They love to have, verse 39, the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. Or as Matthew told us in our reading, they love titles so that men say rabbi, so that men call out teacher, or men call them father, you know, in a religious sense. Father, rabbi, teacher. Sounds very familiar, doesn't it? Men today love to be called, oh, pastor, pastor, pastor. Oh, there's the man of God. And let's give him the most important seat. Let's make sure that he has the place of honor. Just like these men, verse 39 of a long time ago. Men love to give themselves titles today. Bishop, apostle. We seem to be competing so that we can put a sign outside our church so that you'll know the Reverend Doctor, Bishop, Apostle, whoever it is, preaches here every Sunday. Done in order to be seen and praised by others. Jesus taught about the same thing at the very beginning of his ministry in Matthew chapter 6. He says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. If you get your reward from the praise and honor of men, then that's all the reward you'll be getting. So Jesus said, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues, on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. We know what happens in our country, don't we? That when it's time for the offering, they'll say, now I want you to hold your offering up in the air, so that we can see what you're giving, and so that we can put a blessing upon it. It's all done to be seen by men, so you can get your praise from men. And Jesus says that's all the praise you'll be getting, because God won't be praising you. But Jesus said, when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your giving may be secret. Your Father, who sees what is done in heaven, will reward you. Well, verse 40, another part of trying to be seen. For a show, they made lengthy prayers, long prayers. Now, long prayers aren't a sin. We read one time, Jesus went out and prayed to God all night. But he didn't do it for a show. He didn't do it to impress others. And if your prayers are for the people around you, then they won't go any further than the people around you. They won't ascend higher than the roof of the tent. And God will take no notice of them. So again, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. When you pray, go into your room, lock your door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Well, the third thing, false man-centered religion is done at the expense of others. Others pay for it. We can see that in verse 40. They devour widows' houses. Really, I have two things here, actually, a third and a fourth. First, thirdly, it's done at the expense of others, and fourthly, it's done to get personal profit. So others pay for it, and others enrich the so-called man of God. So these teachers of the law, they were trusted. They were important men in the community, and so they got into positions where they'd be trusted with the household of a widow. Widow who has no one to care for them and no one to leave her property to. her husband has died and it seems she has no sons or daughters to help her. And so she trusts it to the man of God. And he's very pleased to be trusted because eventually he can bring it all to himself to enrich himself by it. Now, if you own some sheep or some goats, you'll hire someone to look after them and take them out and find the grass, graze them. What if you come across the one you've hired one day? You've got some kind of shepherd boy. You come across him one day and he's built himself a little fire and he's heating something. You have a look and he's eating the sheep and he's eating the goats and you've paid him to look after them. And instead, he's feeding himself off them. That's what these men were doing. They should have been feeding the flock. Instead, they were feeding themselves, using the flock. We can read about Paul's example in Acts chapter 20, verses 34 and 35. He gave a different example, just like Jesus said, I have not desired anyone's silver or gold or clothing, but you yourselves know that my own hands supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So man-centered religion, it's always about money and building up the false teacher to enrich him. He lives at others' expense and he makes a profit from it. What should we do when we meet this kind of religion? Well, Jesus said, verse 38, watch out! Be aware! Know that this is all around in the world. Notice it, mark it, and avoid it. If I told you that in my household there was some terrible disease, if I told you there was leprosy in my household, you'll say, I'll remember that, and I'll stay away from that household. And the same we should do with this kind of false religion. Be aware of it, know what it is, and avoid it. Jesus says, verse 40, such men will be punished most severely. He tells us that these people will get a greater punishment. James, when he wrote his letter, he told us the same thing. James chapter 3, verse 1, he said that teachers will receive a stricter judgment. So then, of course, if the judgment is stricter, if you've done worse, you'll get a greater punishment. Paul taught the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Told us that teachers are meant to be building up God's house, and they'll be judged for their work, whether they've built it with the precious gold of truth, the precious silver and jewels of the gospel of Christ, or whether they built it with man-made straw and wood which will be burnt up when God tests it with fire. Now, the same kind of idea. Now Paul's talking about something slightly different, but he's giving us the teaching still that the teacher's work will be tested strictly. You see, the Bible says there are smaller rewards and greater rewards, and there are smaller punishments and greater punishments. Yes, there's only two places you can go, utaweza kuenda binguni, au utaweza kuenda motoni, mahali mbili peke yake, lakini, in those places, there are greater rewards, or lesser rewards, and greater punishments, or lesser punishments. And Jesus says that false man-centered religion will get you the greatest punishment. Now, we need to be convinced that man's opinion and man's praise in the things of God counts for absolutely nothing. what the people of our culture or time say is important in religion counts for nothing. And the Word of God only counts for anything. Man-centered religion just pours petrol on the fire of God's judgment. And if that's your religion, if you just come to church to look good and to get a name from others, we need to repent, don't you? And you need to come to the way of the cross. You need to come to Jesus' way. Jesus was rejected by the leaders of his day. He took nothing from the people, but he gave everything, even his own body and soul, he gave to the people on the cross, that by his death they might live. And that's true religion. And you need to come back to Jesus and let his blood wash away all your sin. Let's look at verses 41 up to 44. Let's see an example, a picture of true religion. Jesus was in the temple. Remember, this is his last week. He's there as the light of the world and the teacher of Israel, teaching his people, getting rid of all the rubbish that was taught by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and showing true light to his own as he prepares to go to the cross. And so that's where he is. And in the temple there was a place where you could bring an offering. And not just during the services of the temple, but at any time. It's called, verse 41, the temple treasury. And he sat down near that place and he watched. And he saw many rich people putting in large amounts of money. But then verse 42, he saw also a poor widow. Here's another widow. She had no one to care for her, it seems. No husband to provide, no sons to give her anything. And she put in two very small copper coins. It says worth only a fraction of a penny. It's not really certain what the words that are used mean in terms of today's money. But if we can make a guess from what we do know, seems to be about a quarter of a day's money. The money to live off from one day, she only had a quarter of that amount. And yet, she put that into the offering. And Jesus thought this was remarkable, verse 43. Because he actually called his disciples to him. And he said, now look at this. She's given more than anyone else. They gave what was spare. They gave what they could afford. And what would make no real difference to their way of life. But she gave, verse 44, all that she had left to live on. That quarter of a day's living was all she had left. And she said, well, let me give it to God because I love him. Let me give it to God because then I know it won't be wasted. Let me lend it to God because I know on the last day he'll give it me back with interest. And Jesus said, now here is something remarkable. Now it's interesting. He didn't call the widow. He didn't say, come here, lady, and let me praise you. No, he called his disciples, and he praised her to them. Perhaps the widow never knew. Perhaps she will never know until the day of judgment how great her reward was. That in all the world, in all the nations of the earth, her name is praised for what she did. Heaven looks down and sees. Maybe no voice will come from heaven and say, well done, you. But heaven notices and heaven sees. So we should be encouraged, shouldn't we? And we should be encouraged because God does not count the way that men count. This widow's gift would not go far. But God does not count that way. We can read at 2 Corinthians. God, through Paul, speaks about giving in 2 Corinthians. Chapter 8, verse 12, he says, if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has. Not according to what he does not have. So if you don't have much, God says, that's not important. I take no notice of what you lack. I only take notice of what you have. So you have very little, and you give out of your very little, and I take notice of that, praise God. All the money and things you don't have, not important to me. God, this verse says, looks for a willing heart, if the willingness is there. Now, if we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, it says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Every man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, not being forced. Because God loves a cheerful giver. That's what God looks for when you give. This isn't just money. It's when you give time, when you give any service, any act of kindness to a person who's in need. God looks not what you're forced to do, but he looks at your heart and what you're glad to do. And God accepts a true offering from there. And these rich men, maybe some of them were like the Pharisees, because we read about that in Matthew 6. Some of them liked to play a trumpet, make a big noise when they gave, so everyone could watch. And everyone can say, that man, he's generous. That man really giving something to God. But that's not how God counts. God sees in your heart what you're glad to offer him because you love him. Because you're grateful for the Lord Jesus and his death on the cross. And that's how God counts it. God loves a cheerful giver. So then, it's an encouragement, but it's also a challenge. Because it means everybody can give. You children, you can serve God. Husemi, Lazima, Niote, Na Badae, Nitaweza Kufanya, Vitu, Kwamungu, Hapana, Unaweza Kupenda Mungu. Leo, una dogo ni kweli, lakini unaweza serve Mungu with your little. Okay, that applies to all of us. Maybe you have no money at all, but you have a home. Even if you had no home, you have time. And you have a tongue to speak words of kindness and encouragement. You have hands to help with. However little you have, serve God with your little. Because that pleases God and heaven notices it. Now here is then the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he's not like the religious leaders of this world. He's a friend of the poor and the needy. And he looks at the heart, not at how much is in your bank or how big your car is or your house is. But you can know if you come to the Lord Jesus, he won't turn you away. He won't say, now who are you and what are you doing here? No, he'll say, you're very welcome because I'm the friend of those in need. And best of all, he's the friend of sinners because there's our greatest need. Before God, every one of us is bankrupt. If we own the whole of Kenya and the whole of Africa, yet because of our sins, we're bankrupt spiritually before God. And yet Jesus is the friend of the poor and the needy. And he offered himself on the cross. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We can come to him. He won't turn us away. But he'll be thrilled to see us. So there's two types of religion in the world. One of them aims to please man, aims to get honor, aims to get a name in this life. tries to get praise, lives off others, exploits others, and that kind of worship is condemned by the Son of God, and he says it will be punished most severely. Well, there's that of the widow. Men don't praise it. Nobody says, stop! Come and look at this! But Jesus sees it from heaven. And he's pleased. And on the last day, he'll show us just how pleased. So, have you seen that really we're all poor like the widow in spirit? And that we all need to come to Jesus. Have our sins washed away by his blood. And then to do what we can. Not for the praise of men, but for the praise of God. Are you a scribe? Are you a teacher of the law? Or are you a widow?